So we'll be reading from three different parts of Judges this morning. Judges 13, verses 24 to 25, and then chapter 16, 17 to 22, and 28, 30. Okay. I'll do my best. The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Manah Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. So he told her everything. "No razor has ever been used on my head," he said, "because I have been a Nazarite, set apart to God since birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, "Come back once more. He has told me everything." So the rulers of the Philistines returned with silver in their hands. Having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair and began to subdue him as his strength left him. Then she called, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Bear with me. Oh, wait. 28, 30. There is no Judges 28. Pastor?
Yeah.
28:30, Judges. Oh, 22:30. I see. There's a mistake. Never mind. 16:28-30. Sorry about this, folks. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "O sovereign Lord, remember me. O God, please strengthen me once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my 2 eyes." Then Samson reached toward the 2 central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we pray that the strength that you give us to take on each day with all the challenges that we face will not leave us due to your grace, due to the fact that we believe in you and we trust in you, and you have promised us that you will not leave us as long as we do that. I pray that you will also give us the strength to continue doing that in the face of all of the challenges that try to take us off of the path that you have put in front of us and off of your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and always pray in your holy name. Amen.
It was many years ago when I believe my wife and I, that must have been at least 40 years ago, 35 years ago, we were watching television, and it was Ed Sullivan, I believe, when he said, there is a brand new singer that will come and sing. And the title of that song was Why Delilah. And I think his singing, the way he sang it, left such an impression on my mind that very often I remember his passion when he was singing, why Delilah? And I said, if Samson had come and sang it, he wouldn't sing it any better because he would have been asking, why Delilah? I believe we probably can sing the same thing. Why? Why Joseph? Why Peter? Why Mary? And we will have no answer until God reveals the answer to us. Few men in the Bible exhibit such a contrast of strength and weaknesses or weakness as Samson does. When we think of Samson, we usually think of his strength. He killed a lion and 30 Philistines single-handed. He broke the cords with which they had bound him, and he killed 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of a donkey. When he escaped from the Philistines, he walked away with the gates of Gaza. That's how strong he was. Finally, he pulled down the pillars of the building in which the Palestinians were being amused by him, killing more in his death than he did in his life. But Samson's weaknesses were many and brought these strong men down to an awful end. He had a weakness for women and was willing to disobey God in order to get a woman who pleased him. He disobeyed his parents. He broke his Nazarene vow by practicing deceit, uniting with a prostitute, and disobeying God. And finally, he fell in love with a Palestinian woman named Delilah. C.H. McIntosh wrote, The love of Delilah proved too strong for the heart of Samson. And what 1,000 Philistines could not do was done by the ensnaring influence of a single woman. There are many tragic events and statements recorded in the Bible, but there is hardly a word, a statement in the Bible as tragic as the words recorded in the book of Judges about Samson. And I quote, "But he did not know that the Lord had left him. He did not know that the Lord had left him." Is there anything more painful and tragic than a person who does not know his or her own spiritual poverty? I suppose what may be worse is when a person does not want or even care to know anything about his or her spiritual condition. But sooner or later, the person without God will find out how tragic it is to be without God, or rather to be separated from God. Samson found out soon enough. Samson could have been a real hero for his nation against their enemies, the Philistines. But instead, he got involved with a Philistine woman and ignored God's warning. His weakness for women, and especially Delilah, was his downfall. Samson told Delilah of his Nazarene vow never to cut his hair. He actually told her that he was set apart to God since birth, and that God was with him as long as he was faithful to God. Actually, it was his relationship to God that made him strong and not his hair. But if his hair were cut off, he would be powerless. Delilah finally knew that she had his secret. Delilah, using her charm, put Samson to sleep on her lap and then called Samson's enemies to shave off his hair. The charm of Delilah was too strong for Samson to resist. And what the Philistine men failed to do, one woman's charm and influence was able to achieve. Samson had a rude awakening. With his hair cut off now, he had no strength. He tried to overcome the Philistines in vain. It was too late. Samson did not know that the Lord had left him. The source of Samson's strength was God himself, but God had left him. This was the most tragic moment in Samson's life. He did not know that God had left him. The Philistines put out Samson's eyes and imprisoned him in Gaza, where he was forced to grind grain. Samson once described this trip, or someone I should say, described this triple humiliation as the binding, blinding, grinding bondage of sin. Samson, who killed 1,000 men with a donkey's jawbone, who had become a terror to the Philistines, and who was supposed to be filled with the power of God, was now humiliated and had become a slave of pagans who rejoiced that their god, Dagon, had given them the victory. What happened to Samson? Do we really need to know, you may ask? Yes, we really need to know what happened to Samson if we want to prevent our lives from ending in waste, failure, and shame. What is important for us to remember is that Samson had made a commitment to God. He had dedicated his life to him. But then he started compromising. First, he became a slave to his passion. And that led him away from God and into slavery. He became a blind, pitiful slave to the Philistines. He lost his hair, then his strength, then his light, then his liberty, then his usefulness to God, and then his life. That's what happens when we give in and compromise our faith to God. First, his strength left him. Then his life was gone. Then his liberty. He became a slave. Then his usefulness to God. And then his life. I've heard people say that Samson was an example of heroism and self-sacrifice. Some even would look at him as a type of Christ. But nothing can be further from the truth. Samson is an example of how not to serve God. He could have been a great judge of Israel. He could have demonstrated not only physical superiority over the Philistines, but spiritual and moral superiority. He could have been a spiritual giant. He could have been an example of life, a life unstained by the lust of power, the lust of flesh, and the pull of the world. Some of the great men that were admired in the past as leaders, eventually, because they became enslaved to power, and because they had this power trip, and then this power trip gave them all these kinds of liberties they felt they had, ownership of everything, they became corrupt and immoral. He was brought up in a godly home where his parents feared God. In Judges chapter 13, we read, "The Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him up." But what happened? He became enslaved to his own selfish desires. He became bored of the country life in the tribe of Dan. So he went down to Timnah, and there the things of the world attracted him. Very often we get bored of the regular Bible study. We get bored of the regular reading of the Bible at home. We become bored of talking about spiritual things. We get bored and we feel that the world has left us behind, and we search to find something to give us some more pleasure, some more happiness, some more insight of how the world works. And even in religious things, we feel that, I'm going to find a preacher, a teacher, an elder, a church where he will explain to me all the questions I have about God, who God is, how heaven is, and then God may lead us astray. I'm not saying that asking and learning is bad, it's very good, but I believe that we should also realize that all our questions cannot be answered, and all our desires cannot be fulfilled. He married a Philistine girl against his parents' advice. And from then on, the story of Samson is a shameful life of wine, women, and sin. A victim of his passions, he wasted his strength and eventually became a slave. The story of Samson is very similar to the story of another young man who wasted his life. That young man came to his father and demanded his inheritance. We find that in Luke 15. He said to his father, "Give me." This prodigal son, this is the story of the prodigal son. The son who was bored with his father. The son who was bored with his brother and father and the land he was working in. And so he came to his father and he says, "Give me my inheritance." That was the first step, "Give me." And he went, and I quote, "And he went to a far country, and there he wasted whatever he had in immoral living. And when everything he had was gone, he remembered his life at home, before he had turned his back to God and his parents." There comes a time, always, when the last drop of pleasure has been squeezed out of sin. Let me repeat that. There comes a time, always, when the last drop of pleasure has been squeezed out of sin. There comes a moment when the thrill of pleasure has passed and the shame, regret, sorrow, and guilt fills the heart of the sinner. The prodigal son changed from a privileged, wealthy young man to a humiliated, hungry beggar, begging for some food and a place to stay, and ended up serving and feeding pigs. That is, until he came to himself and went back home. That is, of course, the difference between the prodigal son and Samson. Samson never came to himself. Samson eventually destroyed himself and his enemies in revenge, actually. His final prayer was only that his own passions might be revenged. He prayed, "O Lord, remember me. O God, please strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge of the Philistines for my two eyes." You see, his prayer was not, "Lord, please forgive me. I've sinned against you and help me." Whatever. His prayer was only for enough strength once more to destroy his enemies, to revenge. Samson hated his enemies and let his hatred consume both him and them in revenge. But how much happier is the ending of the prodigal son? That young man came home, he repented, he decided that he would come back to his father on any possible terms. And what a wonderful reception his father had for him, and he received. Before even he reached home, his father, who apparently was waiting for his son, he saw his son while he was yet at a distance, and had compassion and ran and kissed him. This is a picture of God's love for us all. Even though we may have wasted our lives and inheritance and have become slaves to our selfish desires, God sees us coming home and has compassion on us and comes to meet us where we are. Why does he do this? It is because he is love and he loves us. Samson had been called to be separated from sinful lust and ungodliness. There were some things he could not do that others did, but he disobeyed God. There are some things we as Christians, we as followers of Christ, could do but must not do. Yes, others do it. And a common excuse is everybody else does it. Everybody else cheats. Everybody else does this and that. And I believe this excuse is lame excuse when it comes to our relationship with God. Samson cared more about his pleasures than his vows to God, his commitment to God. The most tragic thing about Samson's story is that he never knew how poor he was. He did not know that the Lord had left him. The real tragedy of life is to be blind to your own spiritual needs. Do you know what can be more dangerous than being lost? Well, it is not to know that you are lost. Do you feel God's presence in your life? Would you be able to notice His absence in your daily life? Would you be able to notice His absence in your daily life? It's a question that we should pay attention to. Would you be able to know that God is not walking with you anymore because of this or that? Would you be able to notice His absence when you are going here and there, or if you are ignoring your family or cheating on your family? You see, the problem is not that God moves away from us. The problem is not that God has decided to leave us. The problem is that God is still exactly there, but we have moved away. We have turned our backs to God, and we are now mesmerized by the sound of the sirens. In Greek mythology, the sirens. They could not look anywhere else. They were captivated, mesmerized by the singing or sound of the sirens. And the only way to deal with that was to block someone's ears and eyes. And I believe sometimes we are in that particular situation. We cannot let go something that has captivated our heart and body. The body aches for that pleasure. The ears ache for that pleasure. The heart wants that. The pride wants more. And more you get, more you want. Some of the great actors and actresses and well-known people who either committed killed themselves or died because of overdose, doing drugs and whatever, committing suicide. It just didn't happen. It was because they were mesmerized by the pleasures that the public gave them. They were captivated and became enslaved to some things that gave them joy and pleasure. And finally, like Samson, they did not notice that God had left them, or they had left God and had walked away. I'm not getting into any doctrinal arguments here. All I'm saying is Samson died because he disobeyed God. Not only he died, but thousands of people died because of his disobedience. And I believe that what I do and how I do things will affect not only me, but my family. It may affect my loved ones, may affect my church, may affect a nation. If you don't feel his presence in your life today, let me assure you that God has not moved. He is always there. You must have moved. But he is ready and waiting to receive you back. You may say, well, I'm a born-again believer, or I don't believe in God, or I'm a good Catholic, or I'm a Greek Orthodox, or I am Pentecostal or Baptist. It doesn't matter what you call yourself. As long as you follow Christ and he is with you, you are safe and secure. But when you start moving away from him, don't expect him to be there to rescue you unless you really confess your sins like the prodigal son and repent from your sins. And then you'll be restored and you'll be part of the family of God. You may say, well, I don't want to be a Protestant. You may say, I don't want to be a Baptist. Well, you may say, I don't want to do this. I'm not saying to do anything at all other than connect with God. Just look to God. Take his word and read it and see what he says to you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being so loving and compassionate and forgiving. Please, Lord, be with us this morning and today. And help us to continue on our journey, the journey of life on this earth. And help us while we are alive to dedicate our lives completely to you. And Lord, please help each one of us, guide us and protect us. In your blessed name I pray, amen. Will you please turn to hymn number 410.